of green, red roses too.
This is Ed Cohen, your host of Global Radio Talk Show, coming to you today from London and from San Diego. Our special guest today is Ann Ellis, CEO and co-founder of MAUV Group. That's M-A-U-V-E, MAUV Group, based in the United Arab Emirates. And she's speaking to us from her offices in London. The MAUV Group is a leading provider of global business solutions and consultancy services with regard to going from local to global. MAUV Group has a presence spanning all continents and more than 60 countries worldwide. MAUV offers creative and bespoke solutions to solve all the clients' global challenges. They have a wealth of experience founded upon their own global program of strategic expansion. And this know-how allows MAUV Group to help companies cut through local red tape. So let's say hello to Ann Ellis.
Hello, Ed. How are you?
That's great. Thanks for being our guest today on Global Radio Talk Show. So as a founder of the MAUV Group, tell us about how it all began. How were you involved?
We founded the first company in the group in 1996, which is over 20 years ago. And this came about because John Ellis, who is a co-founder of the company, at that time working in the telecoms industry as an electronic engineer. And these were the days, perhaps the beginnings of the telecom boom, and the first network that was set up was in the UK. And John and his colleagues were pioneers in this industry. Once the networks had been set in the UK, they were headhunted to go and provide similar services in other countries, initially in Europe. Now, these people were experts, but also freelancers, and they were required on projects, and the clients who were operating the projects didn't necessarily want to employ these engineers. So in order to make these people compliant in the country where they were working, they needed to be employed by an entity. And this is where we came in, because we set up our company in order to make these engineers compliant.
Interesting. So the first company, just to repeat, was founded over 20 years ago and a startup from within the telecom industry, helping certain companies project who were expanding, the companies were expanding, and the clients required compliance. So dig down, go deeper. What does compliance mean with regard to the MAUV Group?
Compliance means that we ensure that anyone who is employed by us is working legally in the country where they're located. This means that if they're expats, for example, they need to have the correct work visas, and they also, once they have their correct work visa, they need to be registered on a local payroll so that they can be paid their salaries in the country where they're working in local currency, and then they need to pay taxes and any other social insurances that are required by law in that country.
Okay, so some of those countries were the UK or Hungary or Germany or where?
No, our first big project was in fact in Hungary. This was in 1999 when Vodafone was given the license to set up a network. They needed to bring in engineers, and all these engineers needed to obtain work permits, be registered on a local payroll, etc. So in order to facilitate this, I myself went out to Budapest and met up with one of the large accountancy companies called Ernst & Young, and they provided me with a solution so that I could obtain work permits for these engineers. So we set up a branch of our founder company in Budapest, and from there we were able to employ these engineers via the branch and put them on our local payroll and pay them their local salary in forints.
Can you tell us some of the companies that you have supported?
Yeah, well, with regard to that particular project, it was the Vodafone network, but also Nokia was heavily involved on the technical side. So we were working with Nokia and Vodafone. And then following on from that, we went on to work on a number of projects with Nokia all over the world. We followed them wherever they were setting up a network and they needed engineers. We would then go ahead and set up an entity in that country so that we could facilitate the services and make sure these engineers were compliant.
That's a really valuable service you performed, and I imagine they were just delighted to have you.
Yeah, it wasn't always easy because the countries they were going to were very varied. We went from Asia to South America. It was always a big learning curve because in order to provide the service, we had to go to the country. I personally went along to many of these countries myself to find partners who could support us on the ground. These people would be experts in accountancy, in immigration law and labour laws, and they would support our services locally. So I have been, since we set up the company, I've never stopped travelling.
I know, you're a hard lady to reach. So how many people do you have helping you now?
With our staff, we have 65 members of staff of our own. But obviously, in every country where we provide a solution, we have partners. And we keep in touch with them regularly. And our network of partners is growing all the time. We actually have a department, research department, and their job is just to find partners and making sure that they are compliant. We do an extensive due diligence on all our partners. And then keeping in touch with them regularly to make sure that we have all the latest updates, any changes in laws, in taxation or immigration.
Well, that's a lot of work. Strong base, a strong network, obviously.
Yes, but it's never boring.
I bet. So how often do you get involved in the expats themselves, or is that all outsourced and you never touch it?
When you mention issues, do you mean any problems they may encounter in the fact they're in a foreign country?
Yeah, the personal issues of expat. Is that all outsourced or do you personally get involved in that?
No, we usually deal with most of the issues ourselves. If they require any support, for instance, with their families, with relocation, with finding accommodation, we have many partners who support us with these services because we don't actually provide all those services ourselves.
Right,
so we work with partners.
Yeah, well, that's really good. So you do a lot of assessment then and screening because a company like Nokia and others depend on your approach and consistency. And so that's a lot of risk management on your part to ensure the larger company that trust is at hand, that you can be trusted to take care of all these needs. It's really a valuable service you perform, and congratulations. So your personal outlook on life, if I may ask you to go even deeper here, your contribution, your personal outlook on life, how would you describe your joie de vivre or your attitude towards this business, and how does that impact how you do things?
Well, I'm always a person that's looking forward, so I really enjoy dealing with any changes that may arise, which there have been many since we set up the company. For instance, in 1996, where I was based, we didn't actually use the internet. So when I started my job, I was working with a fax machine. And in those days, also, in order to communicate with people in other countries, it was quite expensive because all we had to use for communication was the telephone. So we've seen lots of changes during the period we have been operating, and I always welcome any changes with enthusiasm.
That's great. So there's today this call is via a company called Uber Conference and also voice over internet. You know, in the old days, we'd be on the phone and the dollars and euros keep adding up. But this way, there's hardly any cost at all. And it's just a terrific linkage. So you have, since 2008, when the world was in financial crisis, you still did business, right? I would guess your service was more valuable than ever during the financial crisis. Would you agree to that?
Well, the most important thing for us was that we were spread out all over the world. This meant that in countries where there was a crisis, obviously the business dropped, but we did have some large projects in other countries which kept us afloat, whereas many other similar companies didn't succeed to keep going. And what we decided to do was to offer the services we currently offered in the telecoms industry to any business that needed to look outside its borders for new business. Because, for example, in the US, I think at the US, what happened in the US made a lot of businesses there look outside the US for new opportunities. This was good for us because we could offer our services because we had an established network of companies as well as experts who could advise on the different services we could offer. We were able immediately to go to these clients and offer and talk to them about whether they wanted to set up in countries outside the US.
So once again, we're talking with Ann Ellis, co-founder and CEO of the Mauve Group. And so you use your knowledge from hands-on experience and via a network of local experts in many countries where you've developed the services. And the services include what? Immigration and payroll, consultancy, advice, risk management, company setups, local knowledge. What did I leave out?
I think you've covered everything.
So your contribution, your personal outlook on life, that's the driver. And you have a lot of people who are more detail-oriented, shall I say, dot the I's, cross the T's, that allows you to be the leader.
Yes, that's right. I mean, everybody has their own special qualities. I would say maybe mine is that I'm always enthusiastic. And even when problems arise, I will always try and find a way to solve these problems. But we're very fortunate in our organization that I would say 85% of our staff have been with us for 10 years plus.
Wow.
So this gives our organization a very solid base.
So where are you going next year, 5 years, 10 years out from now? What do you think is going to be different, if anything?
Well, I think communications will improve as time goes on. I mean, we've put lots of investment in recent years into technology and into establishing a system which is all cloud-based. This helps us with our internal communications. Obviously, it's going to support us with communication with our clients and partners as well. We're also trying to improve our services by investing in HR programs to which our clients can have their own login so that we can work closer together on providing the services required for employing the individuals and making sure that they're compliant wherever they're located.
So, Anne, what about this business of GDPR, the data privacy. This is a growing challenge now, isn't it? Not only for your business, but for my business and so many others. How are you guys approaching this, if I may ask?
Well, we're giving it the highest priority, actually, putting in place policies that will ensure that we do comply with all the requirements of the GDPR. This is particularly important for us because of the data that we hold on behalf of our clients. So again, it's down to the systems we use. They are definitely secure, so we can make sure that they are secure systems so that no information is leaked.
So that means they're encrypted?
Yes. I'm not a technical person myself, yes.
Well, neither am I. I'm just reading something here. I'm just a host. You're the guest. Okay, so compliance is job number one. Trust, of course. And with all that, builds even more trust and relationships strength. So congratulations on having such a successful business. So just for clarification, are you involved in what's commonly called PEO, Professional Employment Organizations?
We don't actually call it PEO because that sometimes leads to confusion, because PEO in the US is not exactly the same as what we provide. Because PEO in the US is mainly linked to benefits. So an PEO organization in the US would be more primarily involved in managing the benefits, employment benefits that a US organization is offering to its employees. Whereas what we offer, we like to term as employer of record services or co-employment services, because it's very important in our case that the client, who may be termed as the true employer, and ourselves as the employer in legal terms in the country where the services are located, are working side by side to ensure that the employee is compliant and that we work together moving forward on issues such as performance issues, anything to do with the well-being of the employee.
So you're servicing a global workforce.
Yes.
With mobility solutions. But yes. It goes deeper than mobility, because you're actually setting up operations. It's operational, and it's customer care. The employee experience, I guess, is really, really important to you. And yet you work almost at like an arm's length at the same time. So this is really impressive management in the new world of work. And so as we get further into 21st century, Ernst & Young, who has been a partner in speaking at several of the Global Business IQ meetings recently, has been talking about the future of work, the future workplace, social media, the new generation, wanting to travel more. So that means gig, they call it gig economy. In other words, people like you, what you're doing, are doing spot engagements, doing it really well, and then getting another one and taking the services along the way. So I would think that your type of business, your business itself, will have years and years of success going forward, because you've already have the experience, you already have built the trust and the track record. So again, congrats. And the fact that you're willing to safeguard data today, of course, it's so critical, and everybody's seemingly scrambling around trying to figure out what to do and how to do it.
Yes, that's an ultimate, like I said, it's one of our main priorities at the moment, to ensure that we are complying with all the regulations coming out next month, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, May 25, I guess, is the big day.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, if you will, millennials. You know, God, I hate that word. Yeah. I just call it the next gen, the new workforce. So mobilizing millennials. Millennials seem to want to go on assignment, and they don't really care about the long term. They just want some experience. Would you agree? Yeah.
Yes, I'd agree 100%. That's the way I feel. That's the way I think, anyway.
Well, I could see that's what you're doing. So when,
the way I like to operate.
So I see on LinkedIn here that you produced an article about mobilizing millennials, the gateway to globalization.
Yes.
So I know you and I have not discussed this specific item, but the program is, you know, we champion the look forward to the millennials contributing in a techie way, a different way than me as a baby boomer. How do you see harnessing the millennials, harnessing the cloud, harnessing the new workforce?
Well, I think you've got to give them, they've got to have the flexibility that they expect from an assignment, from any a position they take. And I think you've got to really be prepared to be flexible about that. With regards to, for example, even flexible working hours, not always having to be based in an office. A lot of our staff from many years ago have been working from home. This is not a new thing for us, for people to be working from their own homes virtually, because we've always felt that setting up an office, the costs of keeping an office open are just not worth it. It's just what we try and do, our business model is to keep our overheads low so that we can keep our prices competitive. So, for instance, we have accounts, people that are making payments are not located in the countries where the payments are being made. For example, we have people in the UK that are making payments for the US, for South America. We have people in Cyprus who are making payments for Singapore, Hong Kong. This is the sort of flexibility that we've always encouraged in our own organisation. So I don't see any problems with offering flexibility. In fact, I've got an actual real situation at the moment where we employed a lady, young lady in our office in Cyprus. And a month ago, she came and said, I really would like to relocate to Australia, but I don't want to leave you. I want to continue to work with Moe. So are you happy for me to work for you from Australia? Now, fortunately, we have a company in Australia anyway. So he said, yes, that's fine. And she's going the beginning of May.
Wow.
So it can be done. And anyway, even if the client, the company might get that request and their employee doesn't have their own company there, that's something we can offer. If a company in the US has a person working there and says, I really fancy working in Dubai. So you say, well, I know a company that offers an employment solution in Dubai, so they could work through our organization. So we can be of a great benefit to a company that wants to satisfy the needs of its millennial workforce.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So global trade and global business and global workforce on a collaborative basis. So do you, as a management leader, do you conduct regular video training for your people around the world to stay in touch?
Yeah, I personally don't actually get involved in the training. I leave that to our managers. But yes, we've recently taken on board a young gentleman in Singapore, and that's what we're actually, although we did initially go out to support him in the first initial weeks, he is now being trained virtually, yes, by video conferencing.
What do you see with the growth of China going very much international, investing, of course, in Africa and Latin America for sure, and in other places, having some issues here in the U.S., but they're in so many other places, especially with their investment in the Belt Road Initiative. So in plain English, what does that mean? That means that they're developing transportation and distribution links, right?
Yes, from China outwards. And they're following the old Silk Route. That's why it's been named that. So they're passing through Asian countries and then across to the Middle East and then across as far as Europe, I think that's right. Well, the thing is, I mean, I don't think it has to be just the Chinese that are expanding outside their own country. And that's what we try to encourage. I mean, there are so many Latin American companies that really would gain from investing and setting up operations in Asia, for example, and a lot of the main reason for them not doing this is because they are frightened. They don't think they can understand the way things work there. That's where we come in. So we see it as crossing over. We see people coming out of South America going into Asia and vice versa. This is not about a one-way movement. It has to be both ways.
So to what extent, shifting over as we come near the end of this time, corporate social responsibility, from a European point of view, it's different from an American view, but what is your view of what role should companies play in people's lives? The community, the brand, the footprint of the company and the communities where they operate, including the people they employ in those communities, not to mention the relocatees that the companies send around the world, they're actually pushing out their brand. And so the employees must be properly trained, of course. They take responsibility for the employees. They take responsibility for the employees' attitudes and actions in the community. And of course, all of this is augmented by whatever charitable contributions or whatever that the company makes in each community. To what extent does your service get involved, whether it's through NGOs or through private companies?
I can only give experience of our own company.
Sure.
We don't really get involved with our clients on that basis. So we this year launched a new project where we are trying to support causes that located in the countries where we have our entities.
Uh-huh. Yep,
so we
idea.
Just recently in December we supported a foundation in Colombia. I met this lady at the conference in Bogota in October, and she has set up a foundation for children, deprived children in northern Colombia, and we supported and tried to raise funds for that foundation. And then in March, we did the same thing in Cyprus, where we have an office, had an event, fundraising run marathon event that some of our staff participated in. And we'll be doing the same thing in another location in a couple of months. As far as working with, we do work extensively with NGOs, actually, and we do try to offer their services at a discounted cost, because we know we need to promote, support NGOs as much as we can.
Well, that's really good. There's so much activism, particularly with millennials, just to use that word again, that they really care about companies. They care about issues, corporate social. Yeah. What role does the company take, the brand, okay? How is the brand associated with not-for-profits or for doing things for disadvantaged groups or people, whether it's clean water or vaccines or schooling or healthcare? It is become, according to a survey I read recently in the Wall Street Journal, that millennials increasingly want to associate themselves and work. Of course, they want a well-paying job, but they want to associate themselves clearly with companies that they're proud of, that they can associate themselves with companies who are actively helping less fortunate. And so This giving back thing has become not only corporate social responsibility, but it's really been good business.
Yes. No, I wouldn't say we're doing it in order to get more business. We just feel that we should be helping people in this country, because we are located in a lot of countries where there are social problems. I think this is just the beginning, and we will be expanding on this and helping locally instead of actually getting too involved with large NGOs, helping the local NGOs with their work.
Yeah, we're talking with Ann Ellis, CEO and co-founder of the MOVE Group. And just to sum up now in the next 30 seconds, give us exactly how you want our audience here to understand what MOVE Group does.
Well, I suppose I'd really base that on the values that we mention on our website. Honesty, being honest, being seen as a trustworthy company. But to me, that's one of the most important things, that people can trust us and know that we strive to offer the best service at the best price. Also, that we are an innovative company. I think we could say that we've been that from the beginning, because when we got into this business, there was nobody else providing this type of service. I mean, in the last few years, there seem to have been a lot of companies popping up all over stating that they are the first ones, they are the disruptors. I would say quite positively that we were the disruptors in 1996. I think we can see us as the pioneers of our industry. I think I'd also like to say that we are, I think one of the most important points that we mentioned is that we're fearless, we're not scared. We're not scared of taking on new challenges. In fact, we enjoy new challenges. Never say no to any request which comes our way. I'd say those are the most important things.
You've recently produced a video. It's a combination of, I wouldn't call it cartoon, but it has a lot of images, and it's high speed and gives a lot of information. So did you enjoy producing that?
Yeah, it was really good fun. It was great. I'd like to thank our marketing team as well, because for their input. It was really good working together to bring together this. And we are, it took a long time, actually. I'd say it's taken us a year to get this video produced, but there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, but we feel happy with the result.
Oh, that's really good. So you can find all this information at movegroup.com. That's MAUVE group, all one word, movegroup.com. Very easy to read and easy to follow a website. I'm on it right now looking at it. It's very, very pretty and full of good information, easy links. They all work. And so that's great. So, Ann Ellis, thanks very much for being our customer and for being our special guest today on Global Radio Talk Show, a service of globalbusinessnews.net. And thank you, Ann, and I invite you to come and speak at one or more of our conferences when your travel schedule allows us to be in the same place at the same time.
Thank you.
So, thank you. Very nice speaking with you. and hope to see you on the trail.
Thanks very much, Ed, for allowing me to have this interview. It's been a good experience. And as Ed said, if you need our support with any services, please get in touch via our website, www.movegroup.com.
Great. Thank you. This is Ed Cohen signing off from London and from San Diego.
Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful